Well, it is Mothering Sunday. It's good, isn't it, to stop and to thank God for our mums and to thank God for our children. But the most important relationship in each of our lives is not with our mother or with our children, but between you and God. Whoever you are here this morning, whether you're the youngest or the oldest, that is the most important relationship for you. It's not about life. It is not about how much you love your mum, although I hope you do a lot. It's about how much you love God. It's not being thankful for all that your mums have done for you. The most important thing is to be thankful to God for what he has done for you by dying as your saviour. And we're going to see through this account here of Jesus' relationship with his mum, we're going to see something even more important of our relationship with Jesus. Let me pray, and then we'll have a look at these verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you show us what it means to love and to care through Jesus' death on the cross. And please help us to understand more of that now, and so to trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here in these little verses we've just heard read, we find Jesus at the very end of his life. He is, at this moment, hanging on the cross, and in the next few breaths, he will breathe his last, and he will die. And as adults, we've been walking with Jesus up to this moment. We skipped just a bit further ahead than where we left him. We left him with Pilate, the Roman governor, about to be tried. And we've come on to look at these verses because it's Mothering Sunday. This little conversation between Jesus and his mum. Because it's amazing, isn't it, that though Jesus was fully God, he was God, but also he was fully man. So even though he's existed from before the beginning of time and has always been, even though he has a heavenly father, he also was born and had a mum, Mary, just like you and me. And so as Jesus here hangs on the cross doing his heavenly father's will, as dying as the saviour of the world, he's also looking out for his earthly mum as he says goodbye to her. And through that, we learn a very important lesson. We learn how to love our children and how to love our mums, but more important, we learn how to love and honour Jesus as our saviour. So we've just got 2 points this morning. A mother stands by her son. That's what we see. A mother stands by her son, and a son loves and cares for his mother. Oh, Jamie, can you put up the PowerPoint? No. So firstly, there we go. A mother stands by her son. Because that's what mums do, isn't it? That's what parents do. They stand by their children. One of the hardest things, I think, as a parent is letting go. Letting your children have space to develop their own characters and to make their own decisions. So when you start off, younger children will know this, your mums decide everything for you. So they decide what you eat and what you drink and what you do and where you go and what you wear. But as you get older, you want to have more and more say, don't you, in those things. I always think of it a bit like, I thought of this when I was walking along with our dog, because I think it's a bit like taking a dog for a walk, isn't it? Because to start off with, you have them on a very short lead. And it's great because they go everywhere you go and they do what they're told. And then, as they get a bit older, you might get one of those retractable leads. And they're quite good because you can let the dog run off for a bit, and then when you need to, you can pull it back in, and you've got control. And then there's the dreaded moment when you let the dog off the lead. And the question is it going to stay with you, or is it going to go off and do whatever it wants? And if you know our dog, you know what the answer to that one is. But it's sometimes like that with children, isn't it? As they grow up, you've got to let them go. They've got to make their own decisions and do their own things. And that can be very hard as a mum and a dad, to watch your parents do that, to maybe do things that you disagree with, see you make wrong decisions. But as a parent, you stand by your children and you continue to love them. And I know for many of the people here, that actually has been very hard. You have let them off the lead and they've gone in directions that you didn't want them to go in. They've got themselves in all sorts of trouble. And there are many examples here of faithful, unconditional love as you stood by your children in those situations, never giving up, always being there to welcome them back. And that must have been something of what Mary feels here, Mary's experience with Jesus, because it must have been hard, mustn't it, bringing up the Son of God. Have you ever thought that? It must have been quite tricky. Yes, okay, hopefully he would have been quite well behaved, but imagine what it must have been like for her. She's there wanting her son to settle down, to get a good, sensible job, to have a nice, stable life, and he says, no, I've got to go off and preach the good news. Declare to everyone that I'm the Son of God who has come to save the world. We're told in one of the other Gospels that Mary and his rest of his family thought he was mad. And they came to him saying, come home with us. What are you doing? And Jesus says, no, this is why I was called. But now by this stage, as Jesus is hanging there on the cross, Mary has realized who Jesus is. She knows fully that he is the Messiah, God's son. That all those promises that were made to her through the angel were true and have come true, and that he is the saviour of the world. And so as everyone else deserts him, Mary, Jesus' mother, stands by him. Just look at verse 25 again. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. That's it, just them, and a little later we're told about John. Just that small group. And it must have been hard for Mary to see her son hanging there on the cross. Noah, when he was much younger, had to go into hospital for an operation. And it was so hard to see him there, all frightened and in pain. It's horrible as a parent. But here, Mary sees her son crucified on a cross. It must have been painful to see everyone mocking him and saying to him, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, come down from there, save yourself. To see people spit at her son. It's horrible when you see your child being bullied or ignored. But that's what Mary sees. And so here with Mary, as we see her standing by Jesus, we see an example of what it means to be a mum, to love your son and to stick with him. But more, we see a lesson about what it means to be a disciple. Because Mary, first and foremost here, is a disciple of Jesus, not his mother, but a follower. She's there with the four others, and everyone else has deserted him. So beforehand, at the start, there were thousands of people who followed Jesus. Can you think of the feeding of the 5,000? There was 5,000 men and even more women and children all sitting there listening to Jesus. Huge crowds following him. But little by little, as he explained why he'd come, that he'd come to save them from their sin, to tell them that they turned away from God and they need to turn back to him, the followers started to fall off one by one until he was left with just a small handful. And he says to them, are you going to go too? And they say, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And yet still some leave, and eventually there's 12 of them in a small, tiny room, as Jesus tells them that he's going to go imminently to his death. And as he goes and is arrested, all the rest disappear. So there is just this tiny group of followers left. Four women and John. But there, standing round the cross, unwilling to leave him, committed to standing with a crucified Christ, whatever the cost. Because that's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple stands with their Saviour. Now it's time for the children to get involved. So I want any one of the children who wants to come and stand with me to come and join me. Okay? Who wants to be my disciples? Excellent. Look at this. This is great. Okay, now, anytime you can choose to go and sit down, okay?
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, one's gone already. No? Right, so you can choose to sit down anytime you want. Now, if I gave you a sweet, would you want to go and sit down? Are you going to stick with me? Oh, we've got some more disciples now. They're all coming. Excellent. Oh. Right, we'll pass them along. Take one out. You take them. Take the box. There we go. Hold on to those for a moment. Okay. What about if I said that to be my disciple, you have to do 10 press-ups? Anyone want to go and sit down? Anyone else want to do 10 press-ups? You're going to do 10 press-ups? No? Go on, you'll do 10 press-ups then, quick. Excellent, we've got some disciples still. Okay. Well done. Okay, that's great. So just 3 left. Well done. That's brilliant. Now, what about if I had to tell you that you had to touch a spider? Would you still be my disciple? Would you still be my disciple? Yeah, okay. Oh, well. Hannah, would you be my disciple? No. What about if I told you you had to be shot?
Got them.
Would you still be my disciple? Oh.
You gotta...
That's it. Pop. Oh, there we go. And you've stuck with me all the way through. Excellent. Well done. Brilliant. You are very good disciples. Thank you very much. Why don't you go and take a seat? Give them a round of applause. So, silly point, wasn't it? But to come and follow me, it was nice and easy, wasn't it, when it was all about sweets? And we even had some more people come out. But when it started to get tough, when you had to start doing some press-ups, people just took their sweets and went back to their seats, didn't they? But some stuck with me all the way through, which is great. Well, we see that as a disciple, we are to stand with Jesus, with our Saviour. It's easy to follow Jesus when it's all about miracles and impressive things like that and what you get. But it's harder when it's about standing at the cross with a crucified Messiah. And maybe you're here, you're looking in, and you're thinking, why? Can't see why the cross is so important. It looks pathetic and weak. It looks like a failure. Why would anyone to follow a just Messiah like that? But we see that's the whole reason why Jesus came. He came as a saviour to die in our place, to take God's wrath, God's anger on himself, so that we could be forgiven and be friends with God. And that's why Mary and the others were standing there at the cross, because they knew it was part of God's amazing plan to save people like you and me. That is why he came. But that can be hard, can't it? It can be hard to follow a crucified king. For some around the world, that's a very real challenge. So here is, well, this is not him because he's secret, but this is a picture of a believer in Somalia to represent Hassan. So Hassan is a believer in a place called Somalia, which is in Africa, where you're not allowed to be a Christian. And listen to what he says. He says, "I'm a Christian, a Somali believer, but you have that fear also, so it's kind of not that easy. I never had friends. I never had people to talk to actually so much. They mostly say that you're a kafir, an infidel, because you're not a Muslim. So you don't deserve to be amongst us. So it's kind of emotional why people don't like me so much. It's hard to imagine that door is closed, that family door is closed, that relative, that community, everything is locked." So for him to follow Jesus means putting his life in danger. It means giving up his family. It's hard sometimes to stand with Jesus as a crucified Messiah. But that's what we're called to do, because where else can we go? He has the words of eternal life. And we see here in Mary that loyalty as she stands by her son, but as she stands as a disciple by her Saviour. We're going to sing again now as we sing of, once again, of Jesus' love for us. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Children, do you want to come out to the front? And we can sing this. I've got some actions for this one. Well, children, I hope you've... we've seen, haven't we, that a mother stands by her son, but even more, a disciple stands by her Saviour. But second, what we need to see is can we have the up again, Jamie? Yep. The second thing we need to see is that a son loves and cares for his mother. A son loves and cares for his mother. Now, I hope you all, children, you've shown your mums lots of love this morning. Yes? Done lots of nice things, given lots of presents. Well, Mother's Day is always a bit of a trouble for us because it's always a bit busy getting ready for church. So I thought what we'll do is we will show Vicky some love this morning. So you need to come and sit out here, and we're going to pamper Vicky a bit. So boys, sons, do you want to show your mum some love? Teenage boys, eh? Don't you love them? They came up with this all by themselves. So we missed out on our nice breakfast. So you give that to hold that. So we missed out on our nice breakfast in bed. So here we go. We can have some nice bit of pan au chocolat and a bit of Book's Fizz. There we go. There we go. Right. Isn't that nice? It's good to... good to love and care. Now, Hannah, do you feel a bit left out? Do you think we should pamper Mummy a little bit more? Yeah? Why don't we give her a makeover? Yeah? So, we've got some bits and pieces. So, Isabel, do you want to bring them out? Well done. Let's give them all a round of applause, especially Vicky. You can take your pan of chocolate and your Book's Fizz back away now. Good. Well, there we go. See, that is how you love and care for your mother. There we go. But actually, as mums get older, we have to love and care for them in different ways. So again, we see that with a number of you in the church family. There's people who have to drive up and down the country, sort of looking after their parents. People do shopping and other jobs around the house for them. You need to have patience with them as they become forgetful and as you look after them. You have to listen to them as they share their fears. You have to be there for them. It can be a big sacrifice to love and care for parents. Well, here we see, again, Jesus, as well as Mary standing by her son, we see Jesus caring and loving his mother. The Bible tells us to honour a father and a mother. And here, Jesus, as always, is obedient in loving to his heavenly father as he loves and cares for Mary. But it's amazing, isn't it, to think, as Jesus is hanging there on the cross, as he is bearing all the sin on himself, he is there, even there, caring for those he loves. Concerned for them, not thinking about himself, but thinking about others. So look at verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he was who loved him standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So what's Mary doing here? What's Jesus doing? He's making sure that his mum is cared for, that she's looked after he's gone. Making sure she has someone to care for her as she gets older and to look after her. But again, that's not the primary way here that Jesus loves his mother. He doesn't first and foremost love her as a mother, but he loves her as her saviour. Because before Mary is a mother, she is a sinner, like you and I, like every one of us. We've all turned our backs on God, and Mary is no different. We all need salvation that Jesus brings through his death. And we see it as Jesus hangs out on the cross. The way that Mary needs her son to love her and care is the same way that we all do. The same way he cares for each and every one of us by dying for us. So yes, we see a son loves and cares for his mother. But even more, Jesus loves and cares for us. By their dying for us in our place, he takes our sin upon himself. So whoever you are, here, Jesus is looking down at you from the cross, and he's doing this for you. He says, "Because I love you, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to give you hope for the future." I wonder, have you seen the lengths that Jesus has gone to love and care for you? Maybe you've forgotten the extent to which Jesus has gone to love and care for you. See, it must have been very easy in Mary, in her sadness and her disappointment, in her loss of her son, to be consumed with that grief. And it's easy too for us, isn't it, to look at our lives and to think, "Jesus doesn't love me." But when you look to the cross, well, we cannot doubt that Jesus loves us as he cares and provides for us by dying for us. But even more, because of through his death, he doesn't just love and care for us by dying for us. He loves and cares for us by giving us a new family. Now, this may be a very painful day for some here. I know we may be all too aware of our lack of family, of not having had children, of a mother or child having died, or just being a long way from them today. But Jesus' words to his mum here reminds us that Jesus provides a new family. He provides practically for Mary by ensuring that John takes care of her. And he gives John a new mother. And that is one of the wonderful blessings of being a Christian, isn't it? That God includes us in a new family. That's a real comfort for there is no one actually here who doesn't have children. Whoever you are, if you're a Christian, if you're part of God's family, you have children here today. There's no one here who doesn't have parents. Your parents may have passed, but you are surrounded by parents, mothers and fathers. And no one here doesn't have granny and granddads. The younger ones, you look and you've got grandmas and granddads here in church family. Again, personally, that was an amazing encouragement for us as we came here. I remember before coming to Christchurch, I said to someone about how there was no children the same age as our children and whether that was going to be hard. And he said, no, the children will love it because they might not have any children, but they'll have a whole family of grandparents who will spoil them. And that's true. So I'm sure the boys would love to have children there, other teenagers here. But actually, they are part of a family. And they've been loved. And in turn, they love others. And that is part of being church. And again, it can be a particular comfort for those who've lost family and relationships, particularly for Christ. So listen to Hassan again. He says, I don't have friends. I don't have anybody to speak to. But then I get a fellow Christian believer who loves me also. He shows his love. He comes out and says, what do you need, brother? What do you need? Now, he's talking about support from the other side of the world as Christians through charity called Open Doors prays for him and provides for him. But how much more in the local church? As we can know that we are part of a family. Know that we are loved and cared for. That where we may have made sacrifices to follow Jesus, where we're single because we're committing to only marrying a Christian, or where we may have been divorced and we don't feel it's right to remarry, or maybe it's we've been cut off from our family. Well, to say this is my family, to know that we are cared for. That as we get older and with the fear of being on our own gets greater, that we can know that there's those who will take care of us. That is a wonderful blessing that God gives. As we come to Christ, we become part of his new family. And so that's why as a church, over the years, we've celebrated, it's been Mothering Sunday. So Mother's Day, it's an American thing. Mothering Sunday is about the Mother Church. About being part of a church family. So today, let's just not just thank mums, but let's be thankful to Jesus for saving us and including us in his family, caring for us in that way as we stand by Jesus. Let me pray as we finish for God's help to do that. Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus as he loves and cares for his mother. Please, would you encourage us to do the same? But thank you even more for the way that he died to love and care for us by saving us and bringing us into a new family. And please, would you help us as a church to be those that show that, who do love and care for one another as brothers and sisters, as mothers and children, as a whole family together. And we pray that that will be for your glory. Amen. Well, we're going to finish by singing again as we sing once again of the love that Christ has shown us on the cross. Here is love, vast as the ocean.